We're in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let me encourage you all to be with us on Wednesday night for our Bible study on Wednesday night. We are in the book of 1 John, and God is really helping us to really understand what it means to be born again, and what it means to be a child of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, and I'm reading from the ESV, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Today we want to talk a little bit on a call to Christian conduct. Amen. A call to Christian conduct. A call to Christian conduct. Paul exhorts this church in Ephesus, this Ephesian church, to continue on the path live so that God is pleased. He pushes them beyond their own mental limitations and exhorts them to extend to others what God has done for them. It is in this that we can learn as children of God, as we read this exhortation from Paul to the church in Ephesus, we can learn that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are compelled to live differently. I thought I'd get some amen right there. When you've been saved,
when you've been, yes, sir,
you act differently.
Amen.
Amen. You act differently. We live a life which is directed by our knowledge of God. And can I just throw a shameless plug in here?
Come on now, come on.
You know, the only way we can grow in our knowledge of God is we've got to study his word.
Amen.
So this is what Paul is saying. As he's speaking and writing this church, he's reminding them, in this particular pericope, to stand firmly, understanding that we are his children. We are God's children. And there is a different attitude and different actions that is expected from the children of God. Remember, in the first couple of verses of chapter 4, he tells them to walk lowly. Tells them to walk before men in such a way that they would see God. Then he goes on and he continues to talk about the practicality of living as children of God and what the church ought look like and how we ought act toward one another and being grateful for the gifts that God has given us.
Amen.
So then he comes to verse 32, which I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on what he says to them. Be kind.
Be kind.
Yes. Tenderhearted.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And forgiving.
Yes.
As God.
Oh, Lord.
Has been to you.
Yeah.
He says to them, that there is conduct that Christians ought have that should be distinctive. Where when people see us, they know us to be the children of God.
I know you're right about it. I know you're right about it.
Folk ought to be able to know that we are his children. Folk ought to be able to know that we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to him. And so the Christian is called to live a life that exhibits godly character. Paul's message to this Ephesian church is to answer this call to Christian character with obedience. And what obedience is he speaking of? He said obedience to the command in the call.
Right. That's right.
There is a command in this call to Christian conduct. And it's right there in verse 1. The command in the call to Christian conduct is, watch this, be imitators of God.
Oh, Lord.
He says, be imitators. In the King James, I believe it says to be followers. That's just another pretty word for saying be like God. He didn't say be God. He said be like God. And this word be is continuous. It is not referring to a moment in time, but a continuous action. So the command is to continuously imitate God. Well, let's look at that word imitate. That word imitate means to be like another. Paul teaches that we are to be like God. It is not a suggestion, but a command to imitate him. To act like him. There are no options in this command. Watch this. It's the way Christians behave. Again, in verse 32, he says, of chapter 4, Paul says to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So this word therefore connects us back to verse 32. And it connects both of these verses so that we better understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, now that you know, now that you know God and how he acts towards you, watch this, act the same way towards others. Come here. I want to help you today. Paul goes further. He goes further by insisting that we imitate God as beloved children. As children, watch this, who know their father loves them.
All right.
He says, imitate God. He said, he's really saying, act like your God's children.
I
think I better say that again.
I know you're right about it.
He is saying to you and to me, as he's writing this church in Ephesus, he's saying to us, act like you are God's children.
Yes, sir.
Puts me in mind of what my mother would say to us when we would go somewhere.
I know you're right about it now.
So she would say, you better act like.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Huh?
That's right.
You've been taught something. Yeah. And my dad had a way of saying stuff too. He would say, ain't no child of mine gonna act any kind of way. There were certain rules. There was a certain way. There was certain behavior. There were certain actions that were acceptable. And there were those that were not acceptable. Amen.
I know you're right about
Paul says to us, as children, as beloved children, this gives us the sense and the understanding that because we know God loves us,
yes,
because we know him to be our Father, we have the understanding that he has expectations from us.
Yes.
And Paul says to us, he says, so just imitate him. Just imitate God. He says we have become saved. And those of us who are saved are the children of God, and we have experienced his love tremendously, and this love should cause us each to imitate our Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should cause us to be able to forgive people.
Yes, Lord.
I know you're right about it. Yes,
it should cause us to be able to be kind to people, tender-hearted.
Yeah.
To cause us to be able, watch this, to treat people better than they treat us.
Amen.
Stories told of a Dr. Burns Jenkins who was a popular preacher and writer some time ago. When his son went to college, Mr. Jenkins told him, Dr. Jenkins told him, don't join this fraternity. There was a certain fraternity he didn't want his son to join. And of course, this was the very fraternity that his son joined. And for months, the son lived with this secret. Then he spoke to a church youth group one night, he was smitten with a sense of guilt and unworthiness and shame. And so returning to his room, he went and he wrote his father in detail of his disobedience. And 2 days later, he received this wire from his father. It's all right. I forgive you. I knew it 2 days after you did it. Love, Father. That's how God works with us. He knows our mess ups. He knows our disobedience. Yet he is anxious to forgive us. Can I put some Bible with that? Romans 5 and 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the type of Father we have. He's already making provisions of forgiveness and making provisions for our lives. And we are his beloved children. And children should act like their father. Well, let me lean on that a little bit. Y'all be able to imitate God daily. Think about, here it is. This is how you ready yourself to imitate God. Think about how God responds to you, and then consider the acts of mercy he has shown you. Think of the lengths He has gone with us to keep us.
Mercy.
Are you thinking? Think of how he has made a way in spite of our own failures and our shortcomings. Think of the doors he's opened for us. Even when we've not been what we ought to be. Now, here's the impetus. Now, when other people come looking for mercy, display the same mercy that God has shown you. That's what Paul is saying. I can't get no deeper than that and no plainer than that. He's saying, do the same, act the same way towards other people the way that God acts toward you. There is no such thing as, I'll forgive you if you do this and you do that. Well, it's going to be a long time before I can.
Oh, yeah.
You know how some of us do? We like to hold stuff over people's head, don't we? We like to make people feel uncomfortable and make them squirm a little bit. You know how you do. You got to work for forgiveness. What if God had the same attitude with you and same attitude with me? Well, he said, you need to work it. Huh? He says, imitate God. God takes a lot of stuff off of us.
Thank you.
How do I know that? How do I know that? Because I understand that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Should have been dead for all the sin I've committed. But all because of his grace. Because of his mercy. If God, look, let me just tell you something. If God can cover me for the stuff I've done, somebody rolling their eyes at me ought not be no big deal. I need to be able to say, all right, you forgiven, all right. Come on here, y'all. He says, imitate God. Imitate the patience of God. Come on now. Imitate God's patience. Isn't God patient with us? God tell us to move. And some of us still ain't moved. He's shown us the signs we've been looking for. We done closed our eyes on them and told them we need another one. And he's just patient with us. He's just patient with us. Amen. Been patient with us. And some of us still working his nerves. But he's a patient God. Then when it comes to us, we just get irritated at just anything. We just get irritated at the drop of a hat. Imitate God in his forgiveness, his patience. Imitate God in his, watch this, in his tenderness. How kind he is. It don't take a lot to be nice. Can I just tell you something? It takes more energy to be mean than it does to be nice. It takes more energy. Cause look, usually when you're being mean, you kind of already premeditate what you're gonna do anyway. You got to think about how you're going to get them. Then you got to make sure they feel it when you get them. You got to make sure that they know they've been got. That's a lot of energy to be wasting. Says imitate God. God doesn't look for ways to get us. He doesn't look for ways to hurt us. He doesn't look for ways. He doesn't look for ways to put us in a catch bag. Says imitate God as his children. Imitate him as his children. So because we understand that we are his children, we all look like and act like him. Amen. So we're not only exhorted to see the command in this call, but we should also recognize the compelling in the call to Christian conduct. The compelling in the call to Christian conduct is this. You see it right there? Don't read the Bible too fast. You'll miss something. Verse 2, and walk in love. This word walk refers to living, to deport oneself or to be occupied with. Love, the love of God should compel us to love others. Walking in love is living in love. See, when you walk in love, regardless of what people do or say to you, that can't make you hate them. It can't make you hurt them. You now that doesn't mean you won't be disappointed. It don't mean you won't be hurt. But what it does mean is that love compels you to be different, to be patient. Love compels you, instead of hurting, it compels you to help. I've learned something a long time ago that hurting people hurt people. Generally, when you find a person that's always hurting other folk, something on the inside is hurting them. And we as Christians ought to be at a point in our life where we recognize that hurting people hurt people. And so sometimes when they're attempting to hurt us, it may not necessarily be something intentional. It's just that there's something on the inside just ain't clicking. And the only way to combat that, because you don't want to keep stuff going, the only way to combat that is to do it through love. Does it make sense? Learn how to love. Walking in love is living love. Here's the model for living in love. Watch this. He says, as Christ loved us. You see it? How did Christ love us? Well, the answer is right next to it. He gave himself up for us. He gives us a model. He says, look, walk in love like Christ walked in love. They beat him. They abused him. They lied on him. Christ didn't cuss nobody out on his way to the cross. Judgment hard. They went and found folk to make up stuff. Ananias and Caiaphas, they plotted and schemed to get Jesus, and Jesus just stood there. Y'all know how y'all say it, and never said a mumbling word.
You know how y'all say it.
That's it.
All right. Walking in love. Look, he was persecuted by other people. I mean, matter of fact, there was one time he was in Luke 4, he was in the temple just reading the Bible.
Yeah. I know you're right about it. That's all
And after reading, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yeah. And it went on and began to preach a little bit. And you know what they did? They got mad at Jesus. The scripture says, and they being filled with wrath, they grabbed him, seeking, watch this, to drop him headlong. They wanted to kill Jesus. Now, Jesus had plenty of power. He could have done a whole lot, but what he did was, this text says that he, walking through them, went his way. Sometimes, look, love has got to get us to a point where we understand that we don't need to fight with these. We can fight with this. Love will make you keep on walking.
Amen.
If you walk on by. Love will make you keep walking when other folk are talking about you. Love will make you keep walking when other people are trying to hurt you. Love will keep you walking. He says, walk in love. Walk in love. Live in love. Live in love. Look, you ought to get to a point in your life when people try to get on your nerve. You know, and folk know how to get on that nerve. You know that one. You know that one. You know, you got that one nerve. My grandmother used to say, look, my nerves is bad today. Getting on my bad nerves. You got that one bad nerve, you ought to get to a point where when folks start to doing it, you say to her, look, baby, I love you, and I'm walking in love. I'm not gonna fall for this. Goodbye. Walking in love means that we live in love. Yeah. Christ gave himself for us. And really, here's the impetus that we ought to be at a point in our life where we're willing to give ourselves. Love is sacrificial.
Sacrificial. I know you're right.
Which means that love will sometimes hurt.
Yes, sir.
Love is sacrificial. It's going beyond what you have to give. Matter of fact, let me just say it this way. It's giving a little more than what you got to give. Kind of remind, I know you all have heard it. It's relatively old, but it works here. That remind me of the pig and the chicken who were walking. And they saw a sign that said, free breakfast. The chicken said to the pig, you know what? We ought to make a donation and help them out with this free breakfast. And the pig said to the chicken, said, wait a minute, hold on. With you, it'll be a donation. With me, it'll be a sacrifice.
Right now.
And that's how love works. We give.
Amen.
Even when it hurts, we love even when it hurts. How do I know this? This is what Christ did for you and I.
Oh,
he's the model, isn't he? If he's the model, look at what Philippians 2:8 says. It reminds us of the love of Christ. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. I'm trying to tell you. Look, can I just say it? I don't mean to sound cliche. That's love. We are compelled to follow the model of Christ by walking in love. But we are compelled, watch this, to love God to love pleasing God. You see it? He says, gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Yes.
When in the days of ancient when they would make sacrifices.
Oh, Lord.
It is said that the sacrifice was made and all of it was burnt on the altar. And the fire would consume it, but they would like to see a whole lot of smoke going up because the smoke symbolized the aroma going into the nostrils of God and God receiving that sacrifice. Of those who made the sacrifice. And this is what Paul begins to point to. Even when Christ was on the cross, as he died for you and I as a sacrifice, it was a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. And he says, I will walk daily as we love others and treat others with kind, not just kind gestures, but a kind way of life. When we love the way God loves, when we live the way God says to live, it becomes, watch this, an aroma that God can smell. I'm just asking a question. You don't have to answer. But what do you smell like to God?
Help us, Lord, help us.
Is it a pleasing aroma? The way you treat people on your job. No, I'm not talking about your church attitude. And truth be told, some of us, you know, our church attitude ain't much different from our work attitude. You know, we'll cuss at the back door. You know. What is your aroma? Is it pleasing the way you treat people? Wait a minute. The way you treat people at your house. Hold on, wait a minute. Stop. No. I ain't talking about when guests come over. We're gonna get to this later on in the series, but look, let me just give you just a preview. How do you treat your wife? Does she know you love her? You tell her you love her? Because see, what type of aroma are you sending to God? How do you smell? Trita, how do you treat your wife? How do you talk to your wife? Amen. She's just asking a question and you got to... Wait a minute, hold on, stop it. Yeah. How do you treat your husband?
All right.
I'm not talking about when guests are there. You know, when guests are there, honey, you want me to fix your plate? When guests are there, I'm talking about when nobody's around. Ain't nobody there but you and him. What kind of attitude you have when he asks for a glass of water? You better get it yourself. I mean, what kind of attitude? Come on, talk to me. Come on. What aroma do you send to God? Look, I tell people this all the time. Look. Don't come into the church, you know what I'm saying? Talking about you're going to serve the pastor, you know, running the... You know, get the pastor. This is good. And you want to treat your husband the same way? Come on now. Let's be right here now.
Amen.
Well, he's getting personal here. He wants us to be personal about our aroma, a pleasing aroma. Does it make sense? A pleasing aroma. How do we smell before God? What fragrance do we send him in our action? How do we live before him?
My.
So the agenda is, it is a, so love, we love to please God. We love so that God is pleased. And so the agenda of love is to please God. Look, anytime, let me just give you a pointer. Every time you feel like getting out of pocket, stop yourself. Say, wait a minute. I want to please God. I want to please God. That don't mean every once in a while you won't have some disappointments in it. And you may not, don't mean that you won't slip. But, you know, somewhere along the line, you're not be slipping all the time. Amen. I be slipping all the time. You know what I'm saying? How far does a car get that the transmission just keeps slipping? Amen. You got to get it fixed. Look, y'all, I've been here too long. The agenda of love is to please God. Not to just get what we want. Not just so that we can get pats on the back and just so that we can get all of the attention. But it's so that God is pleased. Does this make sense? Make love about others and not about ourselves alone. Love is not for trade. I love you as long as you treat me right. No. Love is a way of life. That's all Paul is saying, that we, the Christian conduct understands that we, when we love, it's a way of life. It's how we walk. It's how we talk. It's how we live. It's how we act. And others are watching us. Look, Christ didn't just stop there. He went to the cross. Because of his love for you and I. He died on the cross so that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. Look, y'all, that's love. Look, right there. Look, right there is when everybody ought to have been just shouting right there. Amen. If I was Michael Jordan and made a three-pointer, boy, y'all would have been up and jumping. I'm talking about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins and my sins. That is love. So what am I saying? If he can do that for you and I, what more can we do for one another? Christian conduct calls us to consider what Christ has done for us.
That's right.
And consider how God treats us. God bless you today. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless your name and we magnify you. We know that if it had not been for you, we wouldn't be here right now. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your son. We thank you, Father, for another opportunity to live with gracious Christian conduct. Thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter, Christian experience, or as a candidate for baptism. You too, my brother, you too, my sister, can experience the true relationship with Christ, who is Lord and Savior. Come right now, come if you will.